Your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew. Amen. Chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. We're going to begin reading in verse number 10. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 10. And he called a multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for your word, and for this opportunity to come, and I pray that you would help us now, be an able minister of the word, touch our hearts, open up our ears that we might hear and our hearts to receive. I pray that you just minister and have your way in this service. Come, Father, and just breathe upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning because it's talked about a lot in all kinds of circles about what kind of problems that man has. And boy, we got a bunch of them, haven't we? I mean, you know, everything is a problem, and trying to figure it out and make things better and do things better. But, you know, it seems like that the more that we try, the less things improve. Try this, try that, but in the end, it does not seem to work. I don't know about you. I remember it's been a number of years ago now, but I heard the rest of the story from Paul Harvey. And I won't go into the whole story, but he talked about a revitalization. And he said that there was a slum that was in ill repair. Boy, everything in there was broke and it was just dirty. And they were going to come into that place, that slum area, and they were going to revitalize and make it all new. And so they set out to do the project, and they accomplished the project, and they did exactly what they set out to do. They made that area look beautiful. Everything was new and shiny, and everything that was there, it was really an improvement on the entire neighborhood. But he went on and he said, but within 6 months, it looked exactly like it did before they ever started their revitalization project. He said it took 6 months. And he related that to this because he said, as I read my Bible, he said, I've come to realize that I don't believe that Jesus necessarily came to get the people out of the slums. He said, but Jesus came to get the slums out of the people. I mean, to change the individual, to change the people. And I thought about that, and I thought that we live in such a time where many things have been done, and there has been, I don't know, billions, if not trillions, of dollars spent to fix what is not the real problem.
Yeah. Amen.
And we do that in our government. We do that in our community. Sometimes we even do that in our churches. And we do it in our own lives, trying to correct some things. But, amen, as we read here in this passage, Jesus does like Jesus always does. He just goes to the heart of the matter. Because man's great problem is his heart. And so that's why we continue to try and throw solutions and money at problems in our government, in our world, in our lives, but nothing ever really changes. You know that old saying that if you continue to do the same thing over and over again, you know what kind of results you're going to get? You're going to get the same ones. You know, we just redress stuff and we try it again. I mean, it didn't work the first time. It's in these verses. The first thing I want us to notice in verse 11, Jesus said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So Jesus had something to say. And first of all, the thing he wanted to know that defilement is not external. It's not outside. It does not come from the outside. The disciples were charged with being sinners for transgression the traditions of the elders and eating with unwashed hands. The food which is eaten, Jesus knew that, amen, it didn't matter what you eat, it did not affect your mind, and therefore it didn't pollute you. The defilement didn't come from the outside. The doctrines of the Pharisees, that neglect of washing and similar observances, according to them, defiled a man, but Jesus said that can't be true. That's not what defiles the man, because those things pertain to the body just as much as food does. And those things don't affect, amen, our soul. That must be purified by something else that external washings can never touch. It don't matter how much you wash and what kind of ceremony you go through on the outside. Jesus said that which defiles is on the inside. And so man's problems are not caused by social deficiencies. I mean, that's not man's problem. It's not our society and the things around us. That's not what causes the problem. Being poor does not cause man's problems. But you know what? Being rich is not the problem either. That's not the problem. Jesus speaks in the Word. The Word of God speaks to us about the poor, and it speaks to us about the rich and the different things. There was a rich man that you can find in the Gospels that, amen, the Bible said he died and he went to hell. Lazarus was a poor beggar, and amen, he died and, amen, was carried to Abraham's bosom. But you look in the Old Testament, we find Job, amen, who was Job? He was, the Bible said he was the richest man in that country. And, amen, he was perfect and upright in God's eyes. Amen, the riches was not the problem. Being poor, that's not the problem. And neither is it the answer. The problem for mankind is being lost. That's man's great problem, is being lost. Being away from God, separated from their Creator, and not having a relationship with God because of their sinful hearts and their sinful nature. I don't know about you, but I've been lost, and I've mentioned before in different times that how that I got that, you get lost. And I remember one night we was trying to trail a deer that had been shot with a bow and arrow right before dark, and I had a little old two-cell flashlight, and I got off down there in the middle of the swamp, and my light died, and it was dark. And by this time, I was on my own. I was separated from everybody else, but there was somebody that was back up on the hill, and they had a little light too. And every once in a while, I could just see that. I could just catch a glimpse of that light. You know which way I went? Amen. I went toward the light. I pray God help us that we, as individuals, as a church, as a community, as a nation, God help us that we might turn and start going toward the light. We live in darkness and we try all of these things, but amen, that's not the problem. And so Jesus said, number one, that our defilement is not external. And we could talk about that. Listen, does that the things around us affect us? Sure they do. But listen, that's not the problem. That's not the core of the problem. You know, somebody poor, they think, boy, if I had some money, that'd solve a lot of my problems. Listen, it would change a lot of things. But would it change the core problem? You see, I've seen things happen to men and women in this life that they'll be, and I'm talking about folks that's in church, they'll be sailing along and everything going well, but something happened. And all of a sudden they acted and reacted in such a way that we never would have thought or dreamed. Why? Because there was a problem. God knew it all the time. It was a heart problem, an issue with the heart. And so Jesus said, defilement is not external. Secondly, what he did say is he said that man has a cardiac problem, a heart problem. Because he says in verse 19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Where does that come from? That comes from the heart. That's where those things proceed. And so the great problem with mankind is with his heart and not with his head. We know more than we have ever known. We have more knowledge. The things that we can do. But this old world is maybe in the worst shape that she's ever been in. This is not a New Testament revelation, because Jeremiah spoke in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, and he said this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things. You know whose heart you have to really worry about deceiving you? Is your own. Amen. Boy, our own hearts will deceive us. It will deceive us in little matters. It'll deceive us in great matters. But it's our own heart. We have to be careful. Man's heart is incapable of seeing things in a straightforward manner. It's full of guile, and our hearts are ever seeking our own way. You know, we want it our way. It is the heart. When we speak of heart, it is the heart, the will of man, and not the head, not our knowledge that is our problem. See, the heart problem is a spiritual problem. The heart problem is a spiritual problem and not a material or a physical problem. And you cannot solve our problems by redistributing wealth. You can't solve our problems in any form of psychotherapy. If we'll create enough new social programs, we can fix everything. No, we can't. Because that's not the problem. The one problem that prevails all others is a heart problem. It is the problem with men's hearts. And while men thank God for medicine, thank God for the advances that we have made, many, many of man's problems, and we diagnose them as this or that, but many of their problems are heart problems. Before the boys' camp shut down here beside us, when they were running at about 40 boys capacity, and I was talking with the director there, he just gave me a brief summary about how it used to be, and how him and one other lady could run the entire office, and the other 30 people that was employed could take care of the kids, which made it a lot of one-on-one interaction, and things were well. But he said, now here we've come, and he said, half of my employees have to work in the office. That leaves the other half to try to take care of the kids. And it's just harder. It's different, because he told me, he said, every kid here, they've diagnosed with something. And he said, that's why they're here. He said, I know why they're here. He said, they mean as a snake. He said, that's why they're here. What was he saying? He was saying they're here because they got a heart problem. There's a heart problem. And so that is the problem. The one problem that prevails all others is a heart problem. And then we see, thirdly, that evil comes from within. Jesus had said that, listen, defilement does not come by what you eat. Because the disciples ate with unwashed hands. And oh, listen, and I think everybody ought to wash their hands before they eat. I do. I wash my hands, you know, before I eat. Now, I will say this. We get kind of tickled sometimes, because if I'm going to eat, I'm going to wash my hands and clean up and get just clean as I can. But, amen, sometimes I'm down there on the river, amen, handling wigglers and doing all that kind of stuff. And, amen, I ain't got no soap or anything like that. Listen, I still try to clean them best I can, but it don't keep me from eating, let me tell you that. But see, Jesus said that goes in is not what's defiling. Because he said again in verse number 19, he lets us know that evil comes from within. Evil comes from within. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Those things come from the heart of man. They come from the inside. You know what? We talk in Scripture, and if I was to ask you what a case of adultery in the Bible, most folks would immediately go to David, King David. Because he was up on his housetop one day looking, place that he shouldn't have been at that time, but he was, and amen, and he saw, and what did he have? He had a desire. Where'd that come from? That come from within. That come from within. And all of these things that happen unto us is desires that come as a result of how our heart is. From our heart. I've told folks a lot of times, if you ever hear that my wife died because she got bit while handling a rattlesnake, you can check it out. Because something is wrong with that picture. Amen. You know why? But she's not going to handle, amen, a rattlesnake. Amen. She's not going to handle a black snake, a green snake, a corn snake. It don't matter. Amen. She ain't going to be around it. She ain't going to touch one because she don't like them. Brooklyn went to the Biophilia Center here a couple of years ago down in Freeport and got some pictures of her holding some kind of little, I can't remember what kind of snake it was, but she had that thing there in her lap and she was holding it, and her Grammy came and she said, "Now girl, I don't know about you. I don't know about you." She's terrified of snakes. She don't like them. And therefore I realize that there's not a chance in this world that she may get bit by a snake sometime on accident that she didn't see. That's highly unlikely because, boy, she's got a snake radar like none else. And I'll tell you this quick story and we'll move on. Because, see, she won't even go with me on the river because of snakes. We went to Lake Gunnersville up there with my uncle, and we fished up there, and something was said about snakes. And Tammy, she said, "We've been fishing here for years." She said, "I don't know that I've ever even seen a snake." Pam found three in the first hour and a half. She was finding one every 30 minutes. Tammy said, "I ain't believing this." But see, she don't have a desire to handle, and so she's never going to do it. But these things, when they come forth out of our heart, these things that men do, amen, the evil thoughts, the murders, the adulteries, the fornications, the theft, the false witness, the blasphemies, those come forth because it's in our heart. It's what Jeremiah said, it's because of the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus knew that the defilement was going to come from within. And so it tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, in the very first part of that verse, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Man is more often than not what he thinks he is, but he is what he thinks. More often than not, man's not what he thinks he is, but he is what he thinks. And listen, we've got much evil that in evil contemplation, boy, is a seedbed. And in our world, we're bombarded with words, evil words, with evil communication of all kinds, whether it be the radio, the television set, the newspapers. Amen. It's there. It's out there. And the words, the images, we see that like no other generation before us. Amen. We're bombarded with things of violence and all of these things. And it makes a difference. It makes an impression. Everything in this world really seems to be geared toward producing evil thoughts. Murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. And see, in this time that we live, many folks don't even believe there's anything wrong with most of them. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Mankind has become so wicked and has such a heart problem and not a head problem that they think that these things, though they are so offensive to God, but there's really nothing that wrong with them. But the Bible said they're evil. And we speak of people, and I know I've done it, you've probably done it, we've seen folks, and you know, we've made the statement something like that, you know, them folks, they just ain't got no sense. And we look at folks, and a lot of times maybe in the political arena, and we say, they ain't got a brain in their head, but really that's not the problem. That's not the problem. What we don't think about, what we don't realize many times is man's heart. Man's heart drives what man does. Why does he think the way he does? Amen. Because of his heart. Because of the condition of his heart and the way that his heart is. And we'll speak a little bit more about that in just a minute. But the last one there, it said blasphemies. And this speaks of a dishonoring of God. Where does this come from? Jesus knew. He said it comes from the heart. Everything in the list of verse 19 is vile and evil and is dishonoring to God. But men in this time that we live think little or nothing about most of them. But if we'll look into the Old Testament, you remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery, and he wound up at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife began to make advances towards him and tried to seduce him and came to the place. And he said this unto her as he made his escape. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 9, the last part of that verse, he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Against who? Against God. He said, "I cannot do it." And so, you know what he did? He fled from the very appearance of evil. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us to do. So as we close here, try to close. Verse number 20 said, "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." These things, the things from within, defilement is a matter of the heart. The seat of corruption is our heart itself. And if we would be pure, then we must be cleansed. If we're going to be clean, amen, when we get ready to bathe, we use soap and water and we clean the outside. But amen, soap and water does not work on the inside. But the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And the Bible exhorts us as Christians. It tells us we're exhorted to keep our hearts, to protect our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The issues of life. And what this verse is saying, with more vigilance than man uses for anything else, we need to keep our heart. We need to protect our heart. We need to guard our heart. See, the fountains and the wells of the east were watched over with special care. They protected them so that they wouldn't be stopped up, so nobody would come and put any kind of contaminant therein. And so he says you are to guard your heart because the very issues of life flow from your heart. Amen. And if we're going to change mankind, what do we need to do? We need to change our heart. It's not a change that comes from the outside. It's one that comes from the inside. Because when you change the inside, listen, everything else begins to change. Our heart, man's great problem. I want to just share with you this little story as we close. Years ago in Scotland, there was just a simple fisherman who was bound by strong drink. He spent most every penny that he earned on liquor and hard drink while his wife and his children suffered miserably. But one day there was a change. Old John, as he was called, came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and there was a change. Not just outward change, but there was an inward change of his heart. On payday, he brought his whole paycheck home, and his wife was in disbelief. But from that day forward, things began to change. She could pay the bills. They had new and proper clothes, and they had food to eat, and plenty of food to eat. And there came a time shortly thereafter that his wife suggested that they find a more desirable home to live in, since the one that they lived in now was nothing more than a mere shack. And it said John went to the landlord to inquire about renting a good home. The landlord said, I would never rent a good house to you. Why do you say that? Asked John. You do not know me at all. I'm quite sure I'm able to pay the rent and to be a model tenant. The landlord said, of course I know you. You're old John, the drunkard fisherman. And old John replied, you are quite mistaken. You have never met me before. Old John is dead. And I'm new John, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He opened his purse and he poured out a handful of gold coins on the table, and soon John was living in a new home. I don't know if it was the gold coins on the table or John's testimony, but the landlord changed his mind. But the words that caught me is John said, no, said, you don't know me, because he said, old John is dead. Why had things changed so much on the outside for John? Because he got to the core of the problem. It was a heart problem. His heart changed. His heart was fixed. And everything in life changed. And so it still is today. When men's hearts are changed, everything changes. Oh, it's not that we won't have problems if you'll stand with us as our sister plays. I just ask you, every head bowed and every eye closed. John needed a complete change of heart. He needed his heart washed and made clean because he had never known Jesus. Others in Scripture, from time to time, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Things have a way of getting in the way and contaminating our heart. But our great problem in this life is the condition of our heart. This morning, if you have a need, while we wait just a minute, as our sister plays, I ask that you come. While we wait just a minute this morning.